Grace, mercy, and peace are yours from God our Father, and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ.
Amen.
For our meditation this morning, we turn to our gospel reading from John chapter 16. Let us pray. May the words of my mouth and the meditation of our hearts be pleasing in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our Redeemer. Amen. Dear brothers and sisters, in our risen Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, it is not lost on any of us what tomorrow is. It's a special day, and we dare not think of it as just simply another holiday or a day off. It is Memorial Day. If you would go to Washington, D.C. right now, you would see a very tall glass wall, about 12 feet high, 134 feet long, and inside that wall, that glass wall, has been placed 600,000 poppies, a river of red, each poppy representing somebody who gave the ultimate sacrifice for our country. You can just imagine tomorrow there will be some people gathering for ceremonies or some people gathering in church who have very empty hearts, whose hearts are pained because they loved somebody who died in conflict or battle. It seemed like they would see that wonderful loved one again, and all of a sudden, seemingly in just a few moments, everything has changed for their lives. They will not see their loved one again on this side of heaven. Where does someone like that look for help and strength through such a difficult moment? Where do you go when the troubles and trials of life come? Today, Jesus, our Savior, reminds us that you have a joy, an unshakable joy, and that joy is found in Jesus, our Savior, alone. It is found in what he has done for you and for me. We are transported once again to that upper room where we saw Jesus with his disciples as he is about to be arrested, as he is about to be separated from his disciples. And Jesus speaks these rather puzzling words. He says, "In a little while you will no longer see me, but in a little while you will see me." Those disciples thought about those words. What in the world does Jesus mean? We know that he's going to be leaving us, and that troubles our hearts, but Jesus also says in a little while we're going to see him again. In a short time he's going to leave us, but in a short time he's going to be back again. That makes no sense, especially since this Jesus has told us he's going to the Heavenly Father, and that doesn't sound like a short trip. It sounds like he's going to be gone a very, very long time. Jesus, we don't know what you mean by what you say. And Jesus, the ever gracious Lord, gives them comfort by explaining a little more. Jesus says, "In a little while, you will weep and mourn. And then you will grieve, but your grief will be turned to joy." Those disciples would weep and mourn. They were not emotionless. They would know that the body of Christ would bleed and die upon Calvary's cross. The body of Christ would be taken down lifeless from that cross and buried in a borrowed tomb. They would be saddened. And to intensify that sadness, the world would rejoice. They would mock, they would ridicule, they would be glad that this supposed Savior, this King of the Jews, was dead. Oh, how sad they would be. But in a little while, just 3 days later, that very dead Savior which is the ever-living Savior, who would walk out of the tomb triumphantly for his disciples and for us. In a little while, you will no longer see me, but in a little while, 3 days later, Easter morning, you will see me. That's his great comfort. Your grief will be turned to joy. Now, when you think about those words of Jesus, sometimes we may be tempted to think that, yes, we go through grieving, and eventually the grieving subsides, and eventually we're able to get to some sort of joy again. But that's not what Jesus is saying. Jesus is saying something far more powerful. Jesus is saying that grief, that thing that plunges people into darkness and despair, is the very thing that will be turned to joy. And Jesus uses a very beautiful illustration to remind us of what he's talking about. Think about a mother who's about to give birth, and all the pain that there might be involved in that process as she's there in the hospital, suffering as she is. And yet at that very moment, when that little baby comes out of the womb, and she sees that baby, and that baby is healthy and crying, all of that past misery is forgotten for the joy that is now hers. She's a mother, and she rejoices over the fact that this is her child. So also with you, dear friends. You and I gathered on Good Friday, and we remember what Jesus did upon the cross, how much suffering and agony he went through. And yet we rejoice over that fact because that means our sins are forgiven, that we are redeemed, that the blood of Jesus now purifies us from every sin. That's why sometimes Christians even wear a crucifix or a cross around their necks. This is an element of torture. And yet that torture means everything to us because Jesus died for us. But that Savior did not stay dead. That Savior came out of the womb of the tomb. He has risen. He is alive. And because he's alive, we're alive too. Not just physically, oh, far more than that. You are alive in Jesus Christ with a faith that comes by grace in him. That's good news. Don't be tempted by how the world views their version of joy. Sometimes even Christians, well-meaning Christians, mix up what happiness and joy really are. They're really two different things, aren't they? Happiness means that I will be happy as long as my circumstances are happy. I'm happy because I'm healthy and my family is healthy. I'm happy because I still have abilities to work and carry about my business. I'm happy because my relationships seem very good right now. But then the day comes when dark clouds arise over us. It's not a matter of if, but when they come, those dark days when we get that notification from the doctor that we have cancer, or a loved one has cancer, or that we lose our job, or that the finances become a great struggle for us where they weren't before, or those wonderful relationships we once had now become rocky, and somebody who we love now doesn't want to talk to us anymore. What about those days? Well, then we're not so happy. Circumstances dictate whether or not we're happy or not. But your joy is something that remains constant. Your joy is never ending because the joy and the focus of the joy is in Jesus and in what he has done for you. No matter how dark your days become, here is Jesus who gives me a gladness that this world could never give me. Here is Jesus to lift me up and to strengthen me even in my most difficult days, because I know of his love for me. I know of his forgiveness of all my sins. I know of the strength he provides through his holy word. And through the roller coaster ride of life, here is my Savior with the constancy of his love and grace for me. Dear friends, do not mix up happiness and joy. Happiness can come and go. Our joy in Jesus abounds every day because it is based on him and him alone and all that he has done for you. So what does this joy mean for us? It means also that we can be guaranteed that all of his promises are true. And Jesus lays out some beautiful promises for us as he did the disciples so long ago. Jesus says, no one will take away your joy. What a promise. Oh, it doesn't mean that there won't be things and people who will try and take away your joy. They will. Starting with our own sinful nature. Our own sinful nature wants to take the joy that Jesus has given us and set it aside and rather say, woe is me and my situation. No one understands the trouble that I've seen. Or maybe it's the devil who tempts us to try and rob us of our joy. He is not only called the serpent, but also the great accuser, wanting to point his finger at us and say, how could God ever forgive you for what you've done? And then it's the world sometimes that loves to distract us and try and tell us, put your faith in happiness, your wealth, your health, your property, your family. Put your trust in those things. That's where you find true and lasting happiness. But again, that isn't the source of joy. Jesus says, I am your joy, and no one will take that joy from you. Don't let anybody take that joy from you either. But that doesn't come naturally to us. Then sinful nature wants to set that joy aside. So Jesus comes to you this morning and says this, dear friends, pray. Talk to the Heavenly Father. This joy and this understanding of joy isn't something that comes naturally to us. It must be born of the Holy Spirit through the gospel. And so we pray, Lord, help us to keep this blessed perspective in life. A perspective that is not based upon the things and the circumstances of my life, but a perspective that is based upon you, dear Jesus, and your love for me. A perspective that is based upon Easter and the resurrection. Because he lives, I too shall live, even through the darkest of my days. Lord, help me to keep that perspective, that even in my dark days, may I understand that you are going to be accomplishing your will in some special way. I know not how through the darkness of the clouds of my life, but I know you are always working for my good. Here's a brief story about a pastor that I have known for many years. He has recently in his life told many people that when he was very young, he suffered trauma. A trauma that is unspeakable. A trauma that was an abuse by a relative. Can you imagine being a little boy and going through the trauma of abuse from a relative and growing up with that, wondering, where's my life going to go from here? This pastor did pray about this, and this pastor did turn to God's word again and again, and now he sees, many years later, how God has worked this out for a good. What is that good? That in the midst of his trauma, the midst of his past, he is there to help others who have gone through the same thing, to sit down with them. This person has written about trauma and abuse. He understands, and he not only understands, he understands the Word of God and the strength that comes from a risen Christ and his love that never fails us. Could it be that we too, even in our darkest days, need to hear this wonderful promise of Jesus? Ask the Father, and he will give you in my name whatever you ask for. Some people incorrectly look at that and say, well, I'll ask whatever I want. I'll ask for a red Ferrari. I'll ask for the best things of this life. And let's see if Jesus keeps his promise. But remember what Jesus says. Ask for whatever you want in my name. In my name means according to what God wants in his word. Everything that God has revealed about himself in his word. This is what God wants to give you. This is what God wants to provide for you. And he promises that he will give that to you. There may be times when you pray for things that are not necessarily according to God's revealed will. It's left to his hidden will. Like praying for grandma who is dying in the hospital. And you want her to live. But also we pray, Lord, not my will, but your will be done. What's best for grandma is to maybe take grandma home to heaven, where she will be at rest forever with the Lord. Dear friends, your source of joy is not your circumstances. Your source of joy is not in the promises that the world makes you. Your source of joy is in Jesus and the promises he has wondrously revealed to you. Ask and you will receive. Ask for that Easter, that resurrection perspective in life. Even in the darkest moments of life, there is Jesus who shines in your life a brighter light than the sun itself in the sky. That's the source of your joy. And no one can take that away from you. May Jesus ever and always remain your source of unshakable joy. To him be the glory. Amen.